You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
Carter's has your family covered for every summer first. First steps, first swim lesson, or first sleepover. Our clothes help kids and parents shine, thanks to comfy design and easy dressing details. Visit carters.com to shop the latest styles or find a Carter's store near you.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
But we still got plenty to talk about. Plenty to talk about surrounding the Cavs, surrounding the Browns, and we got to get to it. Again, it's Jake Valdick with you guys here. I got Jax Gregory running the board as well. Andrew Hody on the 2020s and doing work behind the glass. It was an incredibly interesting day across the station because a conversation that got brought up that it very, very much confused me around the quarterback spot, which, by the way, is just continuing to be an absolute mess. The more and more that I hear, I think the more and more confused that I get. It's like, Kenny Pickett our starting quarterback? Kirk Cousins is but isn't going to be available in the draft. They're away from two, but also not looking like there's a million different things. It truly is the ideal scenario played off here from silly season. But the conversation today, mostly that it had me through a loop, was centered around none other than Shedeur Sanders. Because it was a conversation that I thought was pretty clear cut. And I don't really see the other side of it, but it's something that it draws in a little bit of interest. We're going to go early here, and we're going to rewind back to the morning. I want you to take a listen in to what got said with between Ken and Anthony today, mostly from Ken here, that just it has me scratching my head on Shedeur Sanders and the conversation on whether or not you would draft him if you passed on him at two, then later in the draft.
And I got to tell you, if Shedeur takes a slide, if he ain't good at 2, then I ain't getting him at 12, and I ain't getting him at 22, and I don't want him at 32. I do not want to move 33? Back in. No, I'm done. Because he is a major personality. Whether he is or not, we've made him out to be. Because of his father. There's no soft-pedaling it. If you were to take Dart, Milroe, Howard, Shook, whoever, I can tell myself later, all right, they took a swing later on at a guy. If he didn't work out, he didn't work out. And we find ourselves in the 2026 draft. You want to take a swing at a quarterback, fine. But I don't want to feel going into 2026, because remember, we're the ones who pay the piper for this. We're the ones who have to deal with the time of this. So if they take Shedeur Sanders and they do it with some, well, they traded out of the number 2 overall pick, which, again, I don't know who's trading up for a non-quarterback, but yeah, we'll see. If they trade out a number 2 and then they trade back up or whatever, and they pass on him and then they bring him in and he's not that good, I'm going to go, why did you even bring him in? Because you weren't convinced of him in the first place in a not great quarterback draft class. If the quarterback draft class is not great, we are talking about a guy who arguably is top 5. Now Joel Klatt's making this argument that he absolutely should be top 5. I want you to make that decision with conviction. Damn it. Tell me you love the guy. Give me the reasons why. Because you can tell me you love the guy. Oh, he fell to us at 27. Why didn't you take him at 2?
Well, this entire conversation makes almost no sense to me whatsoever. Because I am completely, and I listened back to this, by the way, not once, but twice, of the entirety of their segment having this conversation to try to truly understand it. But it's a pretty simple thing for me. If I like Shedeur enough to draft him, but I say, you know what? I don't want to get Shedeur at 2, and I'd rather have, I mean, truthfully, take your pick, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, whatever the Browns decide. But then I also recognize that I can get him again later in the draft. It's a no-brainer for me. No-brainer that I would go back and get Shedeur Sanders, and it's a multiple reasons why. Like, Ken brings up the fact that, yeah, he's a big personality, and big personalities don't enjoy having this fall. Okay. That doesn't seem to be much of a bother to me. I mean, look at every other guy that's had a big personality and had the fall. Like, Aaron Rodgers is the clear and obvious one to point to. It's like, yeah, Aaron started slipping into the 20s and was losing his mind. You think the Packers are going back in time and going, oh, man, really wish I didn't let him drop. Like, no. They have no problem with that. They go back and look at it and go, yeah, okay, we got him later in the draft. So that doesn't throw me off at all. And for me, it's not necessarily a thing of you're not convinced by taking him at two, but this is the way that the draft plays out. Why would I go through and take Shedeur Sanders at two if I know, and I'm playing a risk here, and obviously it's always a risk, and Andrew Berry and everybody in the NFL understands that if I pass on a guy, there's a chance that I don't get him and I have to be okay with that. Sure. I don't think that it's that far-fetched, even though it's not what I believe in. But I don't think it's that far-fetched to think that one of the guys at the top of the draft, like an Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, are more of your can't-miss prospects at number two than Shedeur Sanders is. Okay. So I take that guy, and if I trade back up into the first round, or if he willingly falls to me into the second round, then why would I have taken him with the number two pick? Like, that is the part that confuses me the most. Ken being in on Shedeur at number two, but then out at Shedeur at 23 or 33. That's the part that, again, has me scratching my head, saying, why would you not want the guy 25 picks later? Because it doesn't show a trust. Again, the Packers weren't showing Aaron Rodgers a quote-unquote trust late in the first round. But they went up and got him. Like, you were the one who ended the run. There's still a level of trust there. It's a business thing. And Shedeur Sanders, more than anybody, will understand that it's a business thing. Shedeur, if I could go get your teammate at two, and I know that he's not going to drop all the way down to 20, but I can go get him at two, and then I can get you a pick 20, and I can trade back into that spot, why wouldn't I have done it? It is a value thing. You think that when the Browns went through and drafted Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, it was them passing on JOK in the first round and going, ah, there's no belief in him, right? We don't really believe in JOK. No, if I had to take a guess, Andrew Berry probably would have, I don't know if he would have pulled the trigger over Greg Newsom in the first round, but I guarantee he would have considered taking him early. Like, going into that draft, my friends and I were looking at that going, I would take JOK in the first round. Obviously, unbeknownst to us, the heart condition that people were afraid of and worried would play a factor into his NFL career. But I was sitting there saying I'd take him with a first round pick. A lot of people were taking him with a first round pick. Andrew Berry said, you know what? I know there's going to be a slide on him because of the health concern. I know that he's going to drop into the draft. And because of that, I can get back up into the 50s and draft him there. Why would I bypass at the time a top-level corner just so I could go out and get him when I really feel like I might be getting two first-round talents within the two rounds? Or I might be getting, in the case of this year, between Shedeur Sanders and whoever you decide to draft at two or a couple of picks later if you trade the pick. Why would I not be okay drafting him later on? It is a pure value, yes. If I can get you later in the draft, that's what half of this game is. If I can get you later, I will draft you later because I have to maximize the capital that's set in front of me in order to build the best team possible. It's what the greatest GMs do. You're not going to overvalue a guy and reach on him if you don't have to. Right? And there's scenarios where you do. You do have to sort of go out there and maybe take a reach either for a positional need, which Andrew Berry just doesn't do, period. Or, hey, this guy's kind of a can't-miss, and we don't really have the assets to trade back up into this here. But you can always trade back, right? And the opportunity to use trade back. There's a lot of things that go into it. It's a complicated process. But in trading back and trading back up are something that I trust Andrew Berry to be able to navigate very well. But you don't have to agree with the picks that he makes. But Andrew Berry is not afraid to shift around draft position, and he'll commonly try to get him out of what he considers and what end up often being dead periods of the draft that just don't produce a ton of talent, or at least bring the value of the pick that they're offering there. And it's the smart decision. It comes down truthfully to the value that you get. And if I'm the Browns and I think I can get Shador 15 picks later and give up, I don't know, a second and a fourth, and maybe a third or a player, and you throw Greg Newsom into the trade, whatever you got to do. Right? If I can give up a couple of later picks and get back into it and feel that I got two top five talents and I drafted them within the top five and then within the top 20, that's a steal for you. You absolutely win that. So this is where the conversation to me from Ken today doesn't make any sense. And I know that Ken listens from time to time. I'd love to hear him try to defend himself on this. Not try to. That sounded negative. I'd love to hear Ken's actual defense between this topic. Because I sat there, I listened to the entire segment twice over, and I just didn't get it. I just don't see why you would be totally in on taking a guy with the higher draft pick, but not the lower one. If he falls to you in the draft, that's only a good thing. If you can go back up to get him, that's only a good thing. And yeah, there's going to be pressure there. You're going to have to start Shador at some point. Yeah, if you can tell me that I get Shador Sanders at pick 20, or I get Shador Sanders at pick 15 or 33, somewhere outside of the pick that the Browns have right now, then yeah, of course it's a good move to get out of that pick if that's the guy that you want. Or, of course, it's a good move to draft somebody else in that range and then knowingly come back up and be able to get Shador. And I'm telling you, it's definitely a risk. And you have to say at the end of the day, yeah, I truthfully do, sitting at the number two pick, like player X more than I like Shador Sanders. Doesn't mean that I hate Shador Sanders. Doesn't mean that I don't have any trust in him at quarterback. It just means, hey, Abdul Carter's a pretty darn good player. Really like what he can bring to the table. Travis Hunter, pretty darn good player. Like what he can bring to the table. In fact, I'm all for Shador at two. I'm so much in 10 times more inclined to be for Shador at 18. That sounds 10 times better to me. Because that also means that I drafted somebody really good at two. I would take that over Shador at the top of the draft any day that I can get it. The problem is whether or not he'll be available to you. And Andrew Berry has to move with, again, the understanding that he might not be there, but with the intent and the knowledge that you think he will be. And that can only be done by Andrew Berry. And if that's his plan, one, you'll never know any better. But two, he's going to have to try to execute, and he's going to have to take the risk. And the Browns quarterback position will be reflected because of it. I don't know that you'll ever know, but you might be able to get a sense of what he was trying to do. But I'm all in. I truthfully don't understand it at all from Ken not wanting him later. 216-474-0092. Would you be okay with the Browns trading back into the first round for Shador Sanders or even another quarterback at that rate? You can also get to me on X at VulnickJake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake, so we can get to our social media reactions. Powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Our guest today coming up at 8:40 for Draft Daily, none other than Vic Tafer, covers the Raiders for The Athletic, and a lot more coming your way as well. The Station Buzz at 7:40. At 9 o'clock, as we always do, we'll have Get a Grip. We'll bring in Jax Gregory later on for a little bit of Change Your Mind. But right now, 216-474-0092. Would you be okay with the Browns trading back into the first round for a quarterback, and more specifically for Shador Sanders? We'll get to your calls and more coming up here in about 5 minutes. It's Jake Volnick with you guys right here on The Fan. Especially, I'm giving up Greg Newsom in a heartbeat if it means that it was Travis Hunter is the player that I'm drafting. I don't like to actually draft Travis Hunter, but that's where it makes sense because you have a corner. I'd also probably be okay with Cameron Mitchell being your a third quarterback in, or cornerback in this spot. It just wouldn't be that big of a deal. But this team as a whole, in the entire thought process behind it, is that I'm going to go in and truthfully pull out a double. And if I feel like I love Shador Sanders, I'm pulling off a double top five type of draft where all the talent You spread us across the board. It's a deep draft, but the high-end blue-chip talent, if there is any, is all within the top 5 to 10. So I'm making that deal every single time that I can get it. And I want to go out to social media reactions brought to you by Scheibman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, where Real Xavier P chimes in. Green Bay had a Hall of Fame quarterback when they took their quarterbacks late. And they didn't pass on him. We don't have a quarterback. Carter is injured, and I'd rather have Sanders and Ibuka over Hunter and Milroe. Sanders isn't getting out of the top 10. This isn't JOK without a heart issue, not the same. No, it's not exactly the same scenario. What I was drawing to the table, though, was the idea that Andrew Berry has done this before with value in general. And sure, you had a Hall of Fame quarterback in the business. Green Bay is a much more soundly ran organization than the Cleveland Browns are from top to bottom. In the grand scope of things, in history, that is clear and obvious that they run things better. One, Abdul Carter, technically, yes, injured right now, not going to be injured by the time the season comes around. But, like, I just don't know. Yeah, I'd also rather have Sanders and Ibuka compared to Travis Hunter and Jalen Milroe. That's not the scenario that I laid out, though. The scenario I lay out gets you Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, and then also gets you Shedeur Sanders. And I'll take that over both of the scenarios that you brought to me every single time. And that is something that can get there. Now, you don't think Shador's going to fall out of the top 10. I don't know if he does. In fact, we can listen to a clip probably from Albert Breer that's telling us that there's a very real possibility, indeed, that he does get out of that sort of range there. In fact, Albert Breer was on today and showed the idea that, hey, he gets past the Giants. Where could Shador end up? Well, here we go.
I think if he gets past two, there's a chance he falls out of the first round altogether. 2 and 3. There's a chance he falls out of the first round altogether. So, you know, I think this whole thing's a moving target, and I think this is all going to come down again. I know I used this comparison with you guys before, but this is like Bo Nix last year. This is going to come down to fit, and where does Shador fit? And we might wake up on the 25th, and he's a member of the Browns or Giants. We might wake up on the 25th, and he still hasn't been drafted. That's how wide the range is here. And I think the main reason why is the obvious, which from a talent perspective, just pure talent and traits, like he's not a first-round. He's not a first-round quarterback in the eyes of a lot of people.
Like, that is reality. Just throw out there, Shador doesn't get out of the top 10. I think that the Giants could take him. I think that there's teams down within the top 10 that could probably take a flyer on him. Like, the Saints are definitely an option that could go there. They're kind of a wild card. You have no clue what they're doing in the first round. The Raiders, I would think, are off the table after giving Geno Smith an extension today. But who knows? It's the Raiders. The Jets could realistically be on the table if they don't have the top-tier trust, which they probably should, for Justin Fields. But there's plenty of teams there that could take it. But yeah, once you get past three, I mean, you're flipping a coin at best on some of these teams. Like, the Saints still have Derek Carr. Each team that we've named within that top 10 that could take a quarterback has at least a one-year quarterback plan already in place. So as Albert lays out, it might be possible that you get to 33 and you have the first pick of the second round and you're taking Shedeur Sanders there. Or, hey, you're trading up one spot and you're saying, hey, Chiefs, you want a fifth, a sixth round pick, right? And I'll take your 32. You can have 33 and I'll throw you a bone. Well, we don't have a fifth. It'd be next year. But I'll throw you one of the sixth round picks. You'll acquire an extra pick towards the end of the draft. And I'll move up and I'll take Shedeur Sanders and get a fifth year on him as well. You're not going to draft him. So why not? The idea that he could fall there. Now, I think somebody by the end of the draft, by the end of the first round on day one, probably would snag him up. But it's not a given. It is far from a given that would happen. And the Browns would be, I think, a contender to get back into play for Shedeur Sanders. But what you have to operate if you're Andrew Berry is with the understanding that if I go out and I make this move, I got to be pretty darn sure that the Giants want nothing to do with Shador. Like, I have to pretty much solidify that fact, because if you just let him go and your thought process is I'm going back up to get him and they draft him at three, you made an oopsie. You better have a plan B there, and one that's going to work out pretty closely to the way that plan A did. All right, I want to get your guys' thoughts on this. 216-474-0092. Let's go out to the phones, and let's talk to LaVon is in Cleveland. What's going on, LaVon? LaVon, you there? LaVon has a...
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Carter's has your family covered for every summer first. First steps, first swim lesson, or first sleepover. Our clothes help kids and parents have their best summer ever, thanks to comfy design and easy dressing details. Generations of families have trusted our must-haves for babies, toddlers, and kids, designed to shine season after season. Visit Carter's.com to shop the latest styles or find a Carter's store near you.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Apparently stepped away. Let's keep things rolling. Jim is in Lyndhurst. What's going on, Jim?
Hi. As you know, I want help on offense, and I think we can get three big offensive stars in the first 34 picks. So in other words, at two, I'd take Sanders, okay? And I'd trade Atlanta or somebody up near 14 or 10 in the middle there and get Travis Hunter because we need a wide receiver. That guy would fit our team.
But the problem,
and I want at 33, one of two Ohio State runners. I don't want Carter because of health problems in his defense. So we can get three big stars if we trade up to around 14 to Atlanta or somebody.
Yeah, I think the only thing you'd have to do, and Jim, I appreciate the call. The only thing you'd have to do there, well, you definitely have to flip Hunter and Shador. Like, Shador's got a much farther chance of dropping to 14 than Travis Hunter does. I hate the comparison, but the comparison that's easiest to throw out there is nobody's passing on the Shohei Ohtani of football, okay? Like, the idea that you get a guy that goes two ways, you're like, yeah, I'll take a flyer on that guy if he falls to me at six. Sure, why not? Yeah, you're going to take the flyer, especially in this draft. You're going to take the chances. There's not a ton of blue-chip talent near the top. Realistically, though, Shador could fall back into that range, that 15-ish spot. Yeah. The only problem with what you laid out, though, is I don't think if you get back into there, you're not going to have 33. There's no chance. You have to give up 33 to be able to move that, because if not, you're trading a future first, and that, to me, is worse than trading away your second-round pick this year. By far. Like, worse than trading a second, a fourth, and a player. And if I got to throw in a sixth or a seventh, that too. Like, that is by far worse. But is that a far-fetched idea? Again, it's the same thing. We're sort of on the same page. And I like Abdul Carter and the two more than I like Travis Hunter. But if that's really what the Browns feel to be the right case, it'd be an interesting one. And it'd be interesting, honestly, to pair Travis and Shador back up. Like, if there's going to be a smoothing out process for either of those two guys, and in this case, both of them, having the other one there could be huge. Like, I think it's too much of a task for the Browns right now to have to deal with sort of this idea that you have to find where a two-way player fits while also probably needing to get this team back on track sooner than later to keep Miles happy and to keep Jimmy Haslam happy with the way that Stefanski and Barry are performing. But Yeah, it's still very possible that you could end up with Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders, and those two playing together. I mean, you have a favorite target already that you had through basically your entire college career, especially the last 2 years, if you're Shedeur Sanders. And you already know the guy that's going to be throwing you the ball if you're the case of Travis Hunter. And the Browns have said they view him as a wide receiver before they view him as anything else, a corner. Like, you go wide receiver first. So it makes a ton of sense to me. I think pairing those two together would probably be about the only way that I'd be the incredibly comfortable taking Travis Hunter, just because there would be the familiarity. Let's go back out to the phones. Todd is in Ward 1. What's going on, Todd?
Nope. Do not trade. Nope. The furthest back the Browns could even go in the first round is 13 and expect to be better. And that's the Dolphins. The Dolphins might make a deal because they might want Shedeur Sanders. I can imagine him being there, but then they have to get the Dolphins 13th pick and whatever they got in the second round in order for it to be okay with the Browns. And then once they've done that, assuming they don't get a quarterback, because they shouldn't, Campbell and Bryan are going to be gone off the offensive line. All four of the best defensive ends are going to be gone. You know, Travis Hunter is going to be gone. Will Johnson is going to be gone.
Wait, hold on now, Todd. This is not trade back, but actually trade back up.
How?
With your second overall pick, and you throw together a couple of other picks later on in the draft, and you throw maybe Greg Newsome into the mix, and you go get somebody in the middle of the rounds with the idea that Shedeur Sanders would be sitting there. I'm already drafting Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter with two.
Okay. Don't let my mild, even temper way that I'm conveying this fool you. Mm-hmm. I'm embarrassed. I wasn't paying close enough attention. I'll talk to you later.
You're good, Todd. No worries. Actually, I was listening to him go, and I was like, hold on. He's like, Hunter's not going to be there. And I'm like, wait, the whole idea here is that I've already drafted Hunter. I've already drafted Abdul Carter. I've drafted one of those guys. But yeah, like, I just don't think that there's a scenario where that plays out that poorly. Like, again, the entire thing that I circle back to here is the conversation that Ken and Anthony had, where Ken was basically all in, no, Shedeur after two. I just struggle to find a scenario where that doesn't make sense. Right? Like, if I want him at 33, and I can get him at 33, you draft him at, why would I draft him at, I don't need to show Shedeur confidence. Hey, Shedeur, we love you a lot. Yeah, we didn't love you enough to draft you at two. Dude, you fell to 33. It is our dream scenario. We felt like we got a top player, or again, trade back up to 15, whatever it takes. I got a dream scenario out of this entire thing. I got a player that I valued as a first-round talent. We weren't lying to you in this scenario, which I think they've told Shedeur based on everything that he's posted on social media, probably that they really like him. Like, we weren't lying to you. We do indeed like what you bring to the table. It's just, why am I going to take you at two? Again, we're talking about Shedeur Sanders, guys. It's Deion's kid. If there's anybody who understands the ins and outs of the business, it's going to be Shedeur and Deion. And they might not like it. Of course, they want him to be a high pick. Nobody likes to fall in the draft, but you might end up falling. And I think that they can fully understand that if that happens, it's okay. Like, that's the thing that goes on. And it's us drafting you. Why is it that all of a sudden, Shedeur is going to be so mad that he drafted that he feels like there's no confidence in him? No, I'm the one who stopped the fall. I'm the one who said, enough is enough. Shedeur is too good to let him go any further down. Get me back up there. I'm throwing away part of my other parts of my draft to make sure that I go back up there and get Shedeur. Again, I don't think that Aaron Rodgers being drafted by the Packers held resentment because they let him get down into the 20s. Before they went up and got him, right? He holds resentment to every single team that already passed on him, which in this case, yes, would also be the Cleveland Browns. It's the difference between the scenario that gets left out there with what's happening with Shedeur, because the Browns would have to pass on him first, the difference between him and Rodgers. But still, like, you might hold resentment, but the fact that I came up and got you, that would be where it stops. You would still feel the same gratitude or a level of gratitude for the Browns for making that draft pick. I just don't see where we think that Shedeur Sanders is going to explode in the character that he is, that we don't even fully know that he is. is going to be so angry that he got there. I don't see that happening. 216-474-0092. We'll get back to your calls and coming up later on next segment as well. We'll get to the station buzz. We'll hear from all of our guests across the station today and the best of what they had to say coming up at 740. Until then, 216-474-0092 if you want to jump in. Hey, it's Jake Baldock with you guys right here on The Fan. We got to talk a little bit. I mean, again, it just I'm confused on the fact that you just don't go and it's just a no-brainer towards Shador. At a later pick than two. And by the way, like real Xavier P continuing to go back. Again, how's he not a top 10 talent, but they've mocked him at New York for the last 3 months? I'm not saying he's not a top 10 talent. That's not what's coming across. Again, Jax can attest, I'm all in for Shador at two, okay? I've, from the very beginning, been Shador at two, and I'm consistent in that from the top. I believe that Shador Sanders would be a good pick in the top two picks of the draft. I really do. But it's the fact of if the Browns don't draft him and New York doesn't draft him, those are the top two spots that you'd have to worry about, then he could fall to the second round. Those are really the top two, though. And as well, he mentions trading back up to three. That's just not an option. You would have to give up a first next year, and as soon as you have to toss in a first for next year, I'm 100% out. I want to give up no draft capital going into next season because who knows what the Browns are going to look like. And I'm not banking on any combination, even Travis Hunter and Shador bringing you out the mud that quickly. But again, I want to get what you guys have to say. And if you want to jump in, 216-474-0092, asking the question, would you be okay with the Browns trading back into the first round to go get Shador if they decided to go somewhere else with the number two pick? Let's go with AJ in Brunswick. What's going on, AJ?
Jake, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Good, man. I just wanted to first recognize, I appreciate what you're doing on the late night radio here at the great show. But I wanted to give you my take on the blueprint going forward, okay? In my humble opinion, the way to go is you got to take Travis Hunter or you've got to take the edge rusher from Penn State at number two, right?
Yeah.
And you're looking at generational prospects there, in my opinion. Now, after that, I think the solution is simple. You bring in Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is, when he's healthy, he's a top 16 quarterback in the league if you look at him on intermediate and short throws. And what you do is, in the second round, you select Jalen Milroe because he's got the highest upside. If Stefanski is the quarterback whisperer that we all think he is, you coach Milroe up. You're talking about a kid that's 6'2", 220 with, 4'4 speed, a cannon. He led NCAA football and throws downfield over 40-plus yards, which is, obviously not the game, but there are skills to harness there. And, you put Jalen Milroe behind this team in a couple of years, and I think that you solidify the position of need at number two. You select Milroe, and, you let these guys cook. I don't see the problem there.
Yeah, I don't necessarily hate Jalen Milroe. He's not my favorite quarterback in the draft. I think it's much more of a development, which, like you said, you would like to go get Kirk Cousins in front of him, too, and give him a little bit of time to develop, which is sort of the ideal scenario. Really, the only hole I would poke, and it's not a guarantee no won't happen because it's 100% on the table. It's going to take something to go get Kirk, though. That contract is going to be looming over their head, and they're going to have to do some obstacle jumping that I don't doubt that they could do. But it puts you in an odd situation. And really, the question you have to ask is if you're the Browns is whether or not Kirk Cousins gets you over the hump. Because if he doesn't truly increase your win total by at least a couple of games that they feel like he would, then there'd be no reason to go get him.
Well, Jake, can I just point out one thing to you? Is yep. if you look at Jalen Milroe's statistics last year, they were pretty much pedestrian at best. But yeah. If you looked at his season prior to that, under the tutelage of Tommy Reese, mm-hmm. who's here in Cleveland now, the year before he was electric. And I think that if you bring in Kirk Cousins and you let him, teach the ways of the Stefanski system, I think Jalen Milroe has got a lower floor, but he's definitely got the highest ceiling. And I like what I see from the kid. He's a winner. Nick Saban loves the kid. Maybe it's time to start listening to some of these guys that have won a few rings.
Yeah, and AJ, I appreciate the call. I think that The only thing that scares me off of Milroe is that, obviously, yes, a new offensive coordinator this year, and you would have Tommy Rees, and that should play a large factor into it. I'm not out on Milroe. I'm definitely not out on Milroe. It's just, it's a project for sure. He still has a lot of work to do in his passing game. He does, and very ironically, considering they were both Alabama quarterbacks, not at the end of their careers, but at one point, remind me of like Jalen Hurts. But not every Jalen Hurts type quarterback is a success story either. Right? Like those are going to be potential places where it's going to be tough. And I don't know, honestly, know at this point where Milroe you even really like mock him at. I think it's probably between a second, a third round pick. I just don't know if that's the, you'd have to be really banking on the upside because the floor there is relatively low. And you have to be able to get Kirk Cousins and make it work and win games. Again, it's a lot that goes into it. I don't necessarily hate it, though. It's not the worst scenario that could be played out. Let's go back out to the phones. Nick is in Dallas. What's going on, Nick?
Hey, what up, Jake? I appreciate you taking the call. Hey, one point I want to make, and a couple points real quick, but one is that no one's talking about we're in a division with Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson, and putting Abdul Carter next to Miles on the other end is just going to wreak havoc on all these offenses. And, you know, I love Shador too, and I think we should take him at two, but if we don't, it's got to be Carter. And I just don't see the Giants passing on Hunter. This is the second point. Hunter, obviously a unicorn, he's amazing, but he's like 6 foot. And so like wide receiver doesn't make a ton of sense. Corner obviously does, and putting him in a few packages, but I just don't think he changes the overall dynamic of our team. And the third point is that you cannot wait until the second round to go get your QB. Like, show me all the quarterbacks second round or second day that are crushing the NFL. Jalen Hurts, maybe Dak Prescott, but that's it. You have to go get him. So I think that if Shador is not taking it too, he's going to fall for sure. That's what like all the experts are saying. Go jump up and grab him before the Steelers do it, like 15. I think that's a spectacular plan, and I hope it works. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on, you know, Carter and at two and why that's such a good pick over anybody else. Appreciate you.
Yep, and I appreciate the call, Nick. So Carter wouldn't, again, be my ideal pick at two unless you can get Shador later. But I do think that Abdul presents probably the most safe pick at two because he's shown the production at playing inside of a Big Ten, playing against teams like Ohio State, playing in the college football playoff, dominating the defensive end position in his first year. He's an absolute athletic freak. The only thing that would scare me off of Carter at this rate is the fact of, well, he's already dealing with foot injuries. He already dealt with a shoulder injury. Like, his health is certainly a concern. But if you can look past that, I think you can look past just about anything for Abdul Carter, and he could 100% be a really good prospect. There might just be a slight learning curve there. Didn't exactly stop the run great, but rushed the passer incredibly well. You can't go, I don't think you can go really wrong drafting Abdul Carter. I don't think it's a bad pick. I just think you need to figure out the quarterback spot, which is why I love pairing him with Shador. It's just, and I will sort of push back almost a little bit on a 6 foot wide receiver for Travis Hunter, who is like my least favorite scenario with the Browns at number two out of the main ones that you could point to. Like, if I'm not mistaken, I think Malik Nabers last year is also, 6 foot even. It's a really good wide receiver. Dominated the Browns, had no problem doing that. Like, 6 foot wide receivers can still be good. Is it a little short? Yeah, but there's
Tyreek Hill is 5'10".
Yeah, 5'10", 5'11", somewhere around there. Jerry Judy's 6'1".
Yeah.
Like, an inch difference. Like, if you want to go look at a guy like Julio Jones, yeah, you're talking like 6'3", 6'4". There's a difference, but
Antonio Brown was not over, like, he was a little crazy, but he was 5'10". Really good at football.
5'10".
Yeah.
Like, you could definitely, it's not going to be your outside X receiver who's going up and mossing people necessarily. It could be. So I think you could be an outside receiver at 6 foot. But, yeah, it's just a different type of receiver. He's going to have to be a little bit more refined as a route runner than I think he was in college. But he can do that. You get him the ball in space. He was great after the catch. The 6 foot thing doesn't bother me at all. By the way, Station Buzz, we're going to push back. We'll do it in next segment at the top of the hour, coming up at 8 o'clock. But let's get back out to the phones. Terry is on a cell phone. What's going on, Terry?
Hey, what are we thinking here? Mm-hmm. I mean, what do we see with Shador at Colorado? Tell me what he did wrong at Colorado.
I didn't think he did anything wrong. He's my favorite pick at number two.
His completion percentage pretty good.
He's the best in FBS.
Was his touchdowns high? Was his interceptions low?
Relatively.
I mean, what did he do that he's going to drop to the second round?
I just don't think people are in love.
If we don't pick him, New Orleans may pick him. Pittsburgh may pick him. A few other teams that need quarterbacks may pick him, and we don't pick him at two.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't get it. I don't understand it. What do you want? I mean, the guy made every throw, and he still passed for 75% of his passes. He still threw over 35 touchdowns. He threw for less than 10 interceptions and was getting sacked a lot because his offensive line sucked. I mean, what more do you want?
I like Shador and where he's at. Like I said, he's my favorite pick at two. But the people that don't like him, and Terry, I appreciate the call. People that don't like where he's at, I mean, there's things that I don't think Shador's a perfect prospect, guys. Like, I like him at two because you got to figure out the quarterback position, and I think he can fit really well in the Kevin Stefanski offense. He's high completion percentage, great in the short to mid range. I can list off the things I love about Shador. Sure, were there times where he held onto the ball a little bit too long in the pocket? Yeah, I think that's very coachable. Is there probably concerns with him extending the ball downfield? Doesn't have a ton of arm strength. Yeah, that's not necessarily coachable, but it's schemable. The Kevin Stefanski offense doesn't necessarily rely on throwing the ball 40 yards down the field. It is, in theory, more of a almost like a nickel and dime you type of offense, and then every once in a while you'll take a big shot, which, by the way, Shador Sanders is still capable of throwing the ball down the field, just not at like a pinpoint accuracy on a rope. Like, yeah, it's going to be a little bit more of a floater. You can say the same thing about, like, Joe Burrow. Not putting a ball 40 yards down the field on a rope. It's just not. Not comparing the two. Just simply pointing out the fact. But, like, you can say Shador at two. Like, the realistic part is, yes, can the Saints draft him? I think they're in play. I think they could go quarterback at nine. I don't think that's out of the question. Could the Giants draft him? Most definitely. Those are really the two teams, though. And with this scenario, you'd be sure, if he falls to you at 33 and you got information that he's going to go and drop you at 33, by all means, you put your hands behind your back and wait for that to happen. But the teams that are willing to go quarterback later in the draft, like the Steelers, I'll wait. I'll just go right ahead of them. I'm not giving the Steelers the opportunity to jump ahead of me. I'll just go get right in front of them and then call it a day. All right. Let's leave that there. I'll come back here at 8 o'clock. We will get to the station buzz as well. We'll talk a little bit of Browns, and at 8:40, we'll bring in Vic Tafer, covers the Las Vegas Raiders. Almost went back in time there. Covers the Las Vegas Raiders for The Athletic. We'll talk to him about where Vegas might be looking to go at number six with Draft Daily. But station buzz coming up in 5 minutes. It's Jake Volnick with you guys on the Fan.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
You don't brag about your car's resale value until years later when it proves you made the right call. And Toyota makes that choice easy. For the sixth year in a row, Toyota was named the best resale value brand by Kelley Blue Book, with Camry, Tacoma, and 4Runner all earning best in class. Because when you buy a vehicle that's built to last, you drive away with value you can count on. Shop Toyota.com to learn more. Vehicles projected resale value and best resale value awards are specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!